the saddest words that I've ever heard. The saddest was the story told me by a bird. He'd spent about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told.
I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch, an onion patch, an onion patch. I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch, and all I do is cry all day. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. The air is so strong it takes my breath away. Lonely little petunia in an onion patch. Oh, won't you come and play with me? Takes my breath away. I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch, an onion patch, an onion patch. I'm a lonely little petunia in an onion patch, and all I do is cry all day. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. The air's so strong it... An onion patch. Oh, won't you come and play with me? Boo-hoo, boo-hoo, boo-hoo.
Welcome back. This is Love Your Garden on 95.1 Gem FM. Now, as you know, our marble drop is happening this week. I have talked about it in the last one. If you hear the marble drop, which I'll play the next break, text me on 0484 510 5152 for your guess. Now, first of all, I know everybody out there is having trouble getting veggie seedlings at the moment. I guess everyone wants to grow their own garden, their own vegetables, and I think that's fantastic. We should all be doing that. Well, Mitre 10 has ordered a large range of veggie seedlings, which will be available from this morning. So as it's the weekend, this weekend, and being Easter, it's the perfect time to get into the garden and plant those veggies. So get down to Mitre 10 this morning, or because they sell out pretty quick. And what they order, they're not sure if they will actually get. So might be good to check it out. They won't be open tomorrow because it's Good Friday. And the only day they'll be open this weekend will be Saturday from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And they will be getting some new shade-loving plants in, but they'll be coming in after Easter. So today, instead of gardening information, I thought I would tell you a story. It's not my story. It's a story about a lady called Babs Corbett. She wrote this book called The Flamboyant Gardener. And today I want to tell her story of how she started, and everything is in her words. She was 5 years old when she got interested in gardening. So it starts in 1929, the year's 1929. Beyond my garden in the outside world, the first talkies were being shown to amazed theatre goers. A dewy-eyed young Joan Crawford swooned on screen. John Barrymore and Douglas Fairbanks spoke ardent words of love. Folk danced the foxtrot to Dixieland jazz or waltzed to romantic tunes from the latest musicals by Cole Porter, Irving Berlin, Ivor Novello and Noel Coward. Sydney boasted two radio stations, 2BL and 2FC. That broadcast several hours each day, morning and evening. Now, wireless sets were mostly built at home by hobby-mad sons or fathers. There was nervous tension as they twiddled knobs, adjusted valves, and carefully moved coils every time the family and friends sat down to listen. Caruso, John McCormick, Irish father McEwen, and Scottish Harry Lauder were the only pop stars. Every local news broadcast opened with the booming chimes of London's Big Ben. At night, children were treated to bedtime stories. It was my father who read me books about Peter Rabbit, Mrs. Tiggy Winkle, Peter Pan, and Treasure Island. To the clatter of mother doing the washing up, children dozed off with the friendly sounds of frogs and crickets in the garden. And every day started with sunbeams through lace curtains, bird calls of magpies. And if you lived in the city, it was the soft cooing of pigeons that broke your dreams at sunrise. It was the night sounds of Sydney in 1928 that I first dreamed of making my very own garden. I was 5 years old. Through the lead-paned windows of my aunt's bedroom at 21 Captain Piper's Road, Vaucluse, came the slow, regular flashes of the lighthouse on South Head. My aunt and uncle had started planting their huge rockery with shrubs and vines. It was an impossibly adult affair, with a lot of grunting, sweating, and spade work that had little charm for me, but next door was different and exciting. Mr. and Mrs. Beard had lived in the house a long time, long enough for their roses to have taken over with only soft weeding to be done. The Beards were a grey-haired couple with green thumbs and no children. So I was always welcome to scramble through an arch in the climbing rose bush and visit their new secret garden. Under the wide eastern balcony that overlooked the Pacific Ocean, the Beards were building a fernery. It was cool and shady and quiet, a place where I know fairies nestled amongst the damp, mossy pot plants. It was there I spent long, gentle hours with Mrs. Beard, pinching off cuttings of succulents and fern roots and setting them in tiny pots. How I loved the ones that looked like fat green roses huddled on the black soil. Mrs. Beard said they were called hens and chicks. "Would you like to take some home to Dora Creek?" she asked. So that's how it started. We have, first off, we will have a marble drop, and then some Andrea Bocelli, Luciano Pavarotti, and The Swan from The Carnival of the Animals.
It's a secret sound. Here's your cue to listen in close. How many marbles are we dropping? Here it comes. Counted them? Text your guess now to 0484 510 152 and if you've got it right, you're in the draw to win.
Signore con te, tu al vento, muta d'accento e di pensiero, sempre una labile, leggiadro viso, infiato il riso e menzognero. La donna è mobile, tua più al vento, muta d'accento e di pensiero. È sempre misero chi a lei s'affida, chi le confida, mal cauto il cuore, pur mai non sentesi felice appieno, chi in su quel seno non li va amore. La donna è mobile, qua più male vento, muta d'accento e di pensiero. E di pensiero. Thank you.
I have a community announcement here. Come along to a scrumptious plant-based wood food workshop. This will be held on the 19th of April at 12 p.m. on the Seventh Day Adventist Church Hall, corner of Paul and Gregory Streets. The cost is only $10. Three different recipes will be demonstrated, and you get to sample five different recipes in total, all plant-based. There will be a variety of food to sample, like soup, salad, dessert, and main meals. And each recipe will be gone through so you have a full understanding of how to go home and create these delicious, healthy options for you, yourself, and your family. It's a great program to learn new skills and different ways to incorporate more healthy options into your diet. To register your interest, phone Carolyn on 0400 082 564. That sounds like a good thing to do. So back to Dora the Bab story. After every holiday in Sydney, I went home in the noisy, sooty steam train with a little bundle of succulents carefully wrapped in damp paper. Our farm was on the banks of Dora Creek in the coastal section of New South Wales between Sydney and Newcastle. There was a delicious shady spot along the eastern wall of our outdoor dunny, an elegant, comfortable one-holer with a polished seat and a star and a crescent moon cut out on the door. Long ago, someone had planted heavily perfumed jonquils and violets around the grey timber walls of the dunny. The now wild jonquils slept in their bulbs through winter and flowered profusely for months from spring to summer, while the big purple violets seemed to flourish all year round, bunching in perfume clumps where the early morning sun warmed the eastern wall. So that was the spot I chose when I was five for my very own garden. The soil was black and soft, easy to dig with a large spoon. Dew from the night dripped from the roof and kept the garden well watered. Worms lived there in lazy squirms. A wonderful, rich, earthy aroma arose when you broke away the grass roots and crumbled the soil with your fingers. All the maiden hares and small succulents, such as hen and chicks, jelly beans, golden sedum, and print crassula from Mrs. Baird's fernery thrived and aproned out from the clumps of violets. My thumbs were getting green at a tender age. On one visit to Vaucluse, I was utterly entranced by the cosmos that hid Mrs. Baird's black fence. The plants towered above me with feathery leaves and lilac blossoms. At every puff of breeze, they swayed and danced in the sunlight. So unbeknown to my family, I returned to Dora Creek with a hanky full of cosmos seeds. It was a very exciting secret, as I had never yet grown anything from a seed. And there I was, with hundreds of tiny things that would break into a vast forest of flowers. I planned to surprise my mother. Okay, now we've got some more music. Andre Bocelli and Sarah Brighton, Luciana Pavarotti, and the ballet Petrushka from Stravinsky.
da sogno all'orizzonte manca le parole. E io sì lo so che sei con me, tu mia luna, tu sei qui con me.
Sei la fronte
That was the waltz of the ballerina and the Moor from Stravinsky's ballet Petrushka. So now Babs is going to give her mother a surprise with all these cosmos. Now, the only bare plot of sunny soil surrounded her beloved and well-spaced dozen rose bushes, her pride and joy. She never tended them beyond clipping off what she called the deads. My father did the pruning, occasionally sprayed them with white oil for thrips, or aphids, and hoed away the weeds twice a year. As it happened, the weeds had recently been turned in and the garden was ideal for sowing my cosmos seeds. I threw them with gay abandon. No one but I noticed the first green flush that appeared several weeks later. I watched in secret delight as my hundreds of cosmos grew with the sturdy energy of any weed. When they reached a feathery height of about 12 inches, my mother noticed. "You'll have to do something about those weeds in my rose garden," she complained. "I'll hoe them tomorrow," he promised. My secret was sprung. My forest of flowers was destined never to bloom. So I did what any troubled six-year-old would do. I burst into tears. Between blubbers, I told them of the wonderful surprise I had planned. As neither had seen giant cosmos, my gardening efforts were allowed to proceed. To my mother's annoyance, the cosmos soon outstripped the rose bushes and totally hid them from view. But she did accept with grace the bunches of flowers I constantly gave her. Even though they quickly dropped yellow pollen and petals around every vase and mess tabletops, mantelpieces and the piano. "Don't worry," said Father. "Cosmos are annuals and will soon die down." To my disappointment, he was right. So now I've got another marble drop, and then we've got some Andrea Bocelli, Beethoven, and another ballet by Stravinsky is The Firebird. So let's hear the marble drop.
It's a secret sound. Here's your cue to listen in close. How many marbles are we dropping? Here it comes. Counted them? Text your guess now to 0484 510 152 and if you've got it right, you're in the draw to win.
Con me, con me, con me, con me.
stesso sfili vivrò con te.
Partirò.
At this stage, my grandmother was an alert, biscuit-cooking 80-year-old. Her stories of sailing from Ireland on a four-masted square rigger were better than any kids' TV shows today. Every Sunday, my aunt and uncle took time off from the gardening to drive Grandma over to Bondi to see the ocean and the canners. In those days, there were seven big sand hills like the Sahara Desert at the north end of Bondi Beach, and beyond the arched dressing sheds, two wide cement promenades that went right out into the breaking surf. Grandma liked to feel the brisk, salty breeze, but best of all, she loved the drive back along Curlewis Street towards the golf course at Rose Bay, the raised gardens down the centre of the road from the beach to the golf course were crammed with tall green canners, creating a riot of red, orange and yellow flowers. They fluttered like exotic flags. It was the first time I had ever known anyone to get really excited about flowers. And because Grandma raved about them, I loved them too. It was as if I saw them through her eyes. By the time I was seven, I was learning practical things from my father. Blackfriars Correspondence School didn't take students until they were eight and could write, so my father taught me mental arithmetic, English history and spelling as he tended the orchard. It was like a game for me, and I helped with the chores as we moved from tree to tree. I picked up the prunings, helped hoe the weeds and squashed aphids and scaly bug on the low branches. With no pesticides, he used another trick to destroy the leaf-eating grubs. When the small grey codling moths arrived, we wrapped and tied old sacking around the trunk of every tree. This was a perfect nesting place for the moths to lay their eggs. When the next generation of grubs hatched, they grew for a week or two in the sacks. Then when we took the sacks off, splashed them with kerosene and burnt the lot beside each tree. The ashes made for good fertilizer. So that'll be there. That's the end of my story for today anyway. We have another couple of Andre Bocelli. I've been playing quite happy with Andre Bocelli today.
Splendida notte, lascia cadere una stella, lascia che insegni ai miei figli che non c'è cosa più bella di essere veri, di avere uno spirito puro, piedi piantati per terra e lo sguardo al futuro. No, splendida notte, porta consiglio. Fosse anche un fiato di vento, fosse solo un bisbiglio. Quanto coraggio ci vuole a seguire un miraggio per questo cuore migrante che inizia il suo viaggio. Lasci il tuo posto ad un nuovo giorno. Partire è sempre difficile senza un ritorno. Quanta speranza ci vuole a intraprendere un viaggio lontano da un mondo che a volte ci tiene in ostaggio.
Per sorvolare un mare aperto verso un domani ancora incerto.
Troppo tempo che non siamo soli io e te, non chiedo luce ormai, quindi il mio sole sarai. Siamo gli stessi qui, decisi, liberi, intanto parlami se cerchi le parole, prova. Chiederei di più, sei la sola, senza un perché, amo soltanto te.
E lo sapevo, ma oggi è quel giorno che aspettai. Cura e pazienza sei, da sempre sogno di noi.
Siamo gli stessi, sì, decisi, liberi, soltanto seguimi se cerchi le parole, prova ti amo ancora, dillo anche tu. Chiederei di più, sei la sola, senza un perché, amo soltanto te.
So what got everybody interested in gardening? There must be people who have their own stories about it. I don't have a story for me how I got into it. I think it was environmental. My grandfather always had a huge vegetable garden, and it was just the thing everybody did when I was growing up. My parents, we had a big ground, so I just carried it on. I became more interested in herbs, especially the medicinal ones, because they had a use. I grew vegetables because they were practical. But now I do like to have flowers and all their beautiful colours around me. It's time for me to go now. My gem for today is I wish for you a beautiful life filled with amazing moments that take your breath away and remind you the value of the little things is immeasurable. I hope you enjoy my classical selection today. I'll see you next week, 10 o'clock on Jude's Gem, Thursday on 95.1 GFFM. Have a great day.
The voice of Bowen, 95.1 GEM FM.